Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 51 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer, and today I'm going to talk with you about some tips from our AP Now readers on working through the coronavirus crisis. It's something that unfortunately all of us are dealing with now. And when I talk about the tips, I want to say that, well, yes, today it's about the coronavirus crisis. It could be these tips and this advice that our readers have shared could apply to any other crisis or emergency that you might encounter. The presentation is based on notes and emails, basically emails that I've received from accounting and accounts payable professionals who wrote to me, and I think I have 40 or 50 of them now, and hopefully you'll write to me also. You can write to me at publisher@ap-now.com. And they shared their strategies on how they're coping with this sudden necessity to work remotely. And for most people, that means working from home. A few people were set up for it, but most people, it was kind of a baptism by fire. They also shared the problems that they're encountering and the strategies that they are using to deal with them. And for most of us, involved in this, it's kind of we're learning as we're going. So, as I said, baptism by fire. We had a webinar on Thursday, actually, and in that we tried to get some fun statistics, and we asked people where they were listening from. Were you listening from home because you decided to quarantine or, to work in isolation? Were you still in the office? And we also included another choice was we're working in the office, but we're going to start working remotely next week. And at this point, and we're talking about this was March 19th, 84% were either working from home or expected to start working from home. A few were still in the office, but they were taking steps within the office to separate, to make sure that that people weren't too close together. So starting to take advantage of some of the advice or the recommendations that are coming out from our health professionals. So let's, I read through all these emails that I got in. I've also spoke to a few people about this, and I have some tips for you based on this. So the first one is, let's not forget to thank the unsung heroes. And yes, the real unsung heroes throughout this crisis are the medical professionals, but when it comes to our work and working from home, for many of you, that will be your IT staff, who are often working under less than ideal circumstances, trying to get everybody set up and running and working from home. So, this was something that many were not prepared for. And many of them are dealing with people who have different equipment at home because they weren't working from home. The equipment has different capabilities. And so it's been a lot of stress and pressure for them. I've heard people sharing that they, actually gone out and bought printers because, they didn't have a printer at home and they need to print reports, etc. And of course, there's the other issue that quite a few people are printing invoices before they are keying them, invoices that are emailed in. But, that's a topic for another time. I'm not going to talk about that now. So, but anyway, the buying printers. But one of the things that I've been greatly impressed with as we go through this and I hear from different people is that everybody is trying to make this work. Everybody is coming together. And everybody, including people who normally weren't so patient, are trying to be patient with this. So if there's any good outcome from this, and I'm really scraping at the bottom of the barrel, that might be a positive outcome. So don't forget to thank those unsung heroes, your IT staff who's helping you get set up and who's supporting you throughout this whole new process. Tip number two, we have lots of emergencies and not all of them are health related like this. We all have been through some sort of weather emergency, be it a hurricane, a tornado, earthquake, you know, a lot of snow, whatever, and where we've had to work remotely. Unfortunately or fortunately, in the past, that's only been for a day or two. I've also, and if you've been in a big city, you probably have experienced transit strikes when, you know, everybody's got to scramble. So what this has led me to believe is let's take advantage of what we're learning and have some partial remote working for everyone once we get past this, so that we integrate this into our processes going forward. And the next time this happens, and please let it not be something that's horrible, we're prepared. We're ready to move forward. Now, when I say partial remote working for everyone, this can be as little as one day a month, although I personally like one day a week better. Now, be aware that you're going to have some staff. Most of your staff probably will be thrilled if they can work from home one or two days a week, but you're going to have a few people who would prefer to go into the office. But what this crisis has demonstrated, at least to me, is that we need to be prepared to work remotely should that occur, should the necessity occur, rather. Okay. So tip number three, stay connected. This particular tip came from one of our readers. And, you know, when I read it, I was like, God, this is brilliant. And it's simple. I like simple but brilliant. They're my favorite kind because this is something everybody can do. And when I say stay connected, I mean the whole staff should stay connected. So what this manager does is she said every morning, the group has a group conference call to talk about what they're doing, where they are, and also to provide some sort of support. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, most of us are not used to working remotely, and it can be a little lonely and it can be a little overwhelming when you're sitting, you know, at home processing. You'll find you get a lot more work done because you won't be chit-chatting with the one next to you. But it can get a little overwhelming. So this call, it doesn't have to be in the morning, but, you know, if you have it first thing in the morning, it kind of frames the day. And this can be a time when you share news, people can share what problems they have, whatever. But stay connected, okay? Don't leave people out there kind of, you know, out in space by themselves. Next tip, tip number four, especially if you're not used to working remotely, make sure you create a separate workspace. Now, some of us are lucky. We have a home office, and so this is not an issue for us. But Dina, I was talking to my niece, and she was sharing that she's a young professional, and she is in a three-bedroom apartment with five professionals who are all in one of the cities where there's quarantines now, and they are all working from home. So, you know, this had the potential to be really problematic. And so they kind of set some ground rules. Everybody works from their own room, the bedroom, okay? And when they want to take a break, then they can go into the living room and they can sit and chit-chat. But what they didn't want is people with their papers all over the place, you know, me dropping my cup of coffee on your computer, etc. So if you can find a little space where you can have your papers and your work, that would be great. You may have to get a little bit creative depending upon what your living situation is, but if you can, create a separate workspace. Also, that'll give you something to get away from when the day is over and you're no longer working. You don't want to be sitting looking at those invoices. It's like enough already. Okay, and speaking of invoices, tip number five. We have to find ways to deal with paper invoices. So many of you have already made some real progress, and I know from the statistics, currently about 60% of invoices are received electronically via email. That's great, but you want to encourage more and more of this. It doesn't have to be invoice automation. It can simply be invoices coming in through email, invoices coming in through an e-fax, a fax that you've coordinated with an email address, etc. Something where there's no paper invoices. But many of you are in the situation where you're still getting a good number of paper invoices. And, you know, what do you do? If we end up that we end up being home, you know, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, oh God help us, not 2 months. But anyway, if we are, we can't just leave those invoices sitting in the mailroom. So one of the strategies that I liked best, I mean, best is all electronic, but if you're not there yet, is people are saying, well, we have one person go into the office, they pick up the invoices, the mail that has come in, and they scan it. either in the office or they take it home, depending upon what they what the situation is. And just, you know, use some good common sense with you if you're the one person going in and doing this. I was talking to my son, and he mentioned that he had gone into the office the day before, and he has asthma. So I was like, oh, why? Why did you do this? You know, and he said, no, I was careful. He said there were only two people on the whole floor that day. He said, so we each had half the floor, and he didn't take public transportation. He rides his bike, or he drives to the office. So, you know, yes, somebody will have to go in and get the paper, but just be smart about how you do it. And, you know, no crowds, you know, all the stuff the healthcare professionals are telling us to do. So, but again, best practice, best tip, as much as possible, this is the time to encourage your vendors to send you to email those invoices. And speaking of paper, the second paper nightmare are paper checks. Again, as much as possible, you want to encourage electronic payments. This is definitely a time, if you have a robust ACH program, to encourage more of your vendors to start accepting ACH payments. Okay. Now, I want to say one thing. You want to be very careful about fraud, okay? Because as much as, you know, I said everybody's working together, patience, etc., earlier on, the crooks are still out there, and they're still trying to fool you, fool people into paying them something that they shouldn't. So as much as possible, convert your paper payments to either ACH electronic payments, or if the amount is not so high, maybe the person will take a credit card. Okay, so as much as possible. And of course, what this brings up is when we go back to the office, when this is over, we probably need to step up our programs to convert away from paper checks. One other thing, by the way, and it's probably too late at this point, but moving forward, you can do this. If you are printing paper checks, that's not a core competency, and perhaps this is a task that you can get your bank to do for you, and then that takes that issue off the table for you. You don't have to worry about it if this happens again. Tip number 7. Okay, I call this tip the you're not alone tip, and I came up with this because I'm looking at myself. This is definitely a case of do as I say, not do as I do. And tip number 7 is spend less time checking the news and social media. And I say you're not alone. When we did our last webinar, I asked at the end, the last question was, what are you spending too much time on? What would you like to reduce the amount of time you're spending on? Number one, checking the news on the coronavirus. Number two, checking news on the stock market. Number three, looking at funny videos on the internet. Number four, all of the above. Number five, I prefer not to say, which if I had any professional dignity, that's what I would have selected, but it didn't. And the sixth choice was, I'm not distracted, I'm working 100%. And I will tell you, only 25% of the respondents in this webinar said they were working 100%. And I don't know if some of them were tongue-in-cheek or not, whatnot, but it gave me some, I don't want to say pleasure, but at least I knew I wasn't the only one falling down the rabbit hole when it comes to spending time checking things that probably added no value to my life. A full 50% said they were spending time, too much time, checking news on the coronavirus. And unfortunately, I fall into that. My two worst habits are checking news on that and seeing where the stock market's going, because that's always an uplifting experience these days. Okay, so these are some tips that you can use to hopefully make this transition that we go through for the next, hopefully only a few weeks, a little bit easier. And I also wanted to share something that we're doing at AP Now. There's no cost involved with this, but, you know, I was inspired. I saw last weekend, talk about spending time looking at videos. I was watching a number of videos of the Italians who were singing from their balconies to try and keep morale up and entertain each other. And I have no musical talent, and I'm going to do everybody a big favor, and I'm not going to sing. But it did occur to me that we could run some free programs And so that's what we're going to do. And you can check our website, or we've set up a separate page for this. It's a work in progress. Let me warn you of that if you go there. But our first one will be Wednesday, March 25th at noon. And I was talking to my colleague in the UK, Jamie Radford, and he's going to help out with some of these. He's got some ideas, but he's going to be on the first one with me. So, you know, the webpage for finding this is www.ap-now.com/public/ap-nows/quarantine/events.cfm. I don't expect you to remember that. If you just go to our homepage, there's a link to it right from the homepage, and you can see the programs that we're adding. And then there's a special page, as I said, we've set up for this, and then you can register yourself and your staff if you think whatever the programs are, we're still developing them, is appropriate. The first one on March 25th, I call it kind of 20 questions. We're going to present the audience with 20 sticky situations related to accounts payable, including some examples of manipulated AP addresses, email addresses, and, you know, we hope to have some fun. These will be educational, but we want to have a little fun while we're doing it, because let's face it, these are not fun times that we're going through. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to me today. If you want to be alerted to new episodes of this podcast, please sign up for our free twice-a-week e-zine at www.ap-now.com. If you like this episode, please review it. If you are watching this on YouTube, there's a little subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner. Please share this information with your staff on LinkedIn, other social media sites. I hope to see you again on another AP Now podcast. See you then. And until then, please, everyone, be safe.